Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
It's good to be in the presence of God once again. I'm glad to be here. There is a day when I was coming to church, I think like 2 weeks ago. And I remember, I don't know how I left home that day, but when I reached the parking lot, I just felt happy that I was at church. It was an excitement that I can't even say. Like when I stand here and I say, I'm happy to be here, it wasn't like that. It was something different. I was like, I'm going to church. Like, I've come here. I just couldn't wait to worship. So, and it was different. So I made a mental note of that. As we worshiped and prayed, especially the last songs, I really felt God put that word I spoke on my heart for LAT, that He's giving you joy. He's giving you gladness. I don't know, because after I said it, I was like, have people been low? Because I don't feel like I've been like that. But that word is for someone here, amen, that you have been given joy and gladness. And you know what? The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Yes, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the joy of God is not like the joy the world gives. It is not this joy of, it could be that, but that is just a glimpse of it. It is joy that gives you strength. Hallelujah. Amen. So take that word. I don't know, even during the week, especially when things don't work out, and you feel down and downtrodden and what, remember what God has told you this morning. If there is anything you can take away from God today, from LAT, just take that. Take that word. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He has given you joy and gladness. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Amen. Before I go into what I'm supposed to talk about today, I just felt that I should encourage us as parents. I thought I'll talk about this. Let me actually just say it. When we bring our children to church, encourage them to be part of the worship experience. Encourage them from home. Set them up from home. You know, when you're going to visit important people, I know what we parents do. If you were told that you're going to see the president with your family, you would read your children the Riot Act. You would start, I tell when we reach there, behave, sit like this. This is what is expected. This and this is what is expected of you. Do this. If you want to excuse yourself from the table, please do it like this. You will read the Riot Act for them. You will tell them the etiquette, the what, when you're greeted, get up and do like this. You will do all those things. Now, when we bring our children to church, here in LAT, when we go down there, yes, we praise. But the reason why the children come here first is so that they can be part of this praise experience before they go down. Yes, once in a while we praise, but not all the time. But more than that, there is something in the presence of God that is for the children. So it's not just about them being passive. God doesn't want our children to be passive. Let us tell them, before you come to church, please worship. Open your mouth. Don't look around. Eh? Don't pinch. I know we parents, we can do those things. Because when your children go down there, they are actually, for me, I don't know if it's just me or Teacher Olive, but they are good. They are in line. But when they are up here, I think also the parents, maybe we get lost in worship. I don't know. But I just want to encourage us. Encourage the children to worship, to be part of the worship. Glory to God. Let them be part of the worship. If they want to use the restrooms, you can use the restroom before you get in here. Yes, that can actually happen. You can discipline them like that. You can remind them, especially the ones who are older. Glory to God. Yes, so that they don't start moving up and down. I'm not saying that you, because I'm a parent, I know, but let's exercise wisdom as we do some of these things, but encourage the children to be part of the praise and worship. It is good for them. It is absolutely good for them. Today I pulled my two sons to the front. It's an experience. We shall talk about it. Yes, teenagers are difficult sometimes, but God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time, the Lord is good. So, obulangu bwedde. Today, I just want to remind us, just in case you have forgotten, I want to reiterate the fact that we are in a promised land. Hallelujah. We are in a promised land. Amen. We are in a promised land. If you have not yet experienced your promises, they are coming. They are coming. You're there. You must experience those promises that God gave you. You have to, for as long as you're in LAT. Unless we stand here and we lie. But we have so many testimonies of people experiencing things, and we share them on Thursday. A lot more, by the way, than Sunday. So I'm encouraging you once again, come on Thursday. God does, by the way, great things. Great, great and mighty things for people. And they go into some of those details during the Thursday prayer meeting. So you come. You may be there thinking, Mukama Takola, please, you could be on your own. You could be on your own for us. Like someone told me to assemble the da. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. So when God gave the children of Israel the promise that he will take them out of there, he prepared them out of Egypt. God began preparing them. And before they went into the promised land, one of the things that God did was to give them laws and instructions by which they would live. And he gave them instructions over many things, how to worship him, sacrifices, where to worship, the emitendera, like they say in Uganda, how to worship the Lord when they reach there, which places to conquer, all right, which things to keep away from that would profane his worship, things that were sacrilegious to him. God gave them all those instructions. And I believe, looking at that in parallel to LAT, before we entered our promised land, God was preparing each one of us here. Why? Because God told me in a dream, when he said that everyone here had a lesson they learned. And then he said that everyone in LAT should never forget those lessons, those instructions. So God taught us, God prepared us for the promised land. He gave us the instructions before. Amen? And it's good. Isn't God good? Isn't the Lord good that he would prepare you? You know, God knows human beings. He knows that we are really fickle and we cannot do anything on us, you know, on our own. And we really have to thank God for that. Amen? We must thank God for that, that he prepared us. And as I was thinking about this, I found myself thinking about the instructions that God gave the children of Israel. And I felt that we should be reminded about some of those instructions, particularly three things were so put like solely, heavily on my heart for LAT. There are three things that to me I feel are crucial for us as LAT, even as individuals, as we enter the promised land. And it's from that, what I feel in my heart that we are going to concentrate on the scripture, Romans 12, verses 1 to verses 2, particularly the part of not conforming to the standards of this world. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everything that we do, everything in life that we do, must have this principle. Whether you're a pastor, whether you are a banker, a lawyer, wherever you work, a stay-at-home mother, wherever you are, a director, wherever you are. This should be the guiding principle in everything that we do. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, am I a living sacrifice? Am I holy and acceptable to God? Because this is my reasonable service. And then the second thing is not to conform to the standards of this world. And this is where I want to base today's sermon. Not conforming to the standards of the world. When the Israelites left Egypt, they went into Canaan. Canaan had its traditions. Canaan had its standards, its cultures. Canaan had a way they were doing things. All right? They don't say that Canaan was poor. Oh, God would not have taken the Israelites there. He was taking them to a good land. All right? So Canaan had a way of doing things. It had traditions. It had cultures. And I'd like to look at Canaan, you know, as the promised land, as where God is sending us, as the world. Glory to God. And I really felt that it's so important to understand this as we enter the promised land. And remember, we are going to really, based on verse 2, not to conform to the standards of the world. That world being Canaan. Glory to God. That world being those people that we are going to conquer. There is a lot of pressure to conform. Everywhere you look, there is a lot of pressure. When they passed that NSSF Act in Parliament, yeah, people started thinking, when am I getting to 45? Why? Because people at 45, or people in their 40s, expect to be somewhere in life. They feel like, I've heard people say, life begins at 40. And so, personally, let me share an experience. Before I got to the 40s, you know how you people celebrate, like for some reason, the 4-0, the fourth floor, eh? The fourth floor, the 4-0 is the it. And so I would like occasionally see people celebrating these things, like people celebrating their 40th birthdays with bangs, eh? In big ways like never before. And it's not bad, by the way. But mostly, I would see ladies doing that. Eh? I don't know, because my friends are ladies, I don't know. So when my husband made 40, which was a while back, my husband, no, he made 40. Then Tompa Kanya. So when he made 40 a while back, I decided to celebrate the week before that, his birthday week, yeah? I decided to celebrate every day. I would give him a gift every day, yeah? So I got my Apple gifts, lined them up, said on Monday I'll give him this. Tuesday, Fred is even smiling. Monday I'll give him this. Tuesday I'll give him this. Wednesday I'll give him this. Thursday, until the day we're celebrating the actual, you know, birthday. And so I'm sharing with you to say it's not a bad thing, all right? It's not a bad thing to celebrate the 40th birthday. But then I found myself, because this is my personal experience, I found, you know, there was a lot of pressure. Hey, you, Okolachi, my friends were asking me, because those are soon my husband's age, 40th. Then he would also come home and say, now, man, I'm going to be 40, fourth floor, what. And I'm like, Sam, you already think like a 40-year-old. That the time he was 39. So there was a lot of pressure to conform to that thing. Now, it's not evil. What I did wasn't evil, but the pressure is real. Glory to God. Pressure at every level is real. There can be so, so much pressure to conform. And conforming doesn't happen in one day. It is not an event like this, that you wake up in the morning and you've conformed now. No, it's process by process. Mpola, mpola, before you know it, you have morphed. That's the word I was looking for. You find yourself, you have morphed into something that you were not before. By the end of the 5 days or those that week, I had morphed. Even my husband has even started to look at him. Man, I thought about 40. I was like, he's actually becoming old. Why? Because of the things I had read, yeah? So there is pressure to conform, for especially when you are different and when you're Christian. Especially because the devil knows that you are a chosen people, just like the Israelites. You are a royal priesthood. You are peculiar. Peculiar means you stand out. You're not like any other. So do you know what? There will be a lot of pressure to change you, to make you, to suck you in into systems, into things, cultures, traditions, ways of doing things. And those things are not of God. They are of the devil. At the end of the day, he's plotting for you to fail. That is why here, Romans tells us, do not conform to the standards of this world. Do not conform to the standards of this world. Amen? We see from the Israelites again that as they went into the promised land, at first it was a close relationship with their father, with the Lord. He would fight for them. He would do all these things. But guess what? As time went on, when you read the Bible, for those who have read cover to cover, you realize the pattern that things began to change. Things began to change. By the time you reach maybe like the book of Daniel, they are talking about judgment. Exile. You're like, hey, yeah, these guys were got out of Egypt. But now God is talking about, I'm going to judge you. I'll take you to exile. And before you know it, the Assyrians have come. The enemies of Israel, God rises them up to get Israel. Then Babylon comes and takes Israel into captivity. That was not the plan of God when he was bringing them out of Egypt. What happened? What happened? They conformed. They changed along the way. That is important. That is why it's important for us to remember the instructions God gave us. To you, to the Israelites, there were instructions, laws and what. But to you, there are the lessons that God talked to you about. Glory to God. The ones he doesn't want you to, those things will keep you out of exile. They will keep you out of captivity. Hallelujah. Those lessons are the keys out of out of exile. They're the keys that will keep you out of what? Captivity. And you must remember those things. You must remember them. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. So, the last time Pastor stood here, not the last time, because he stands here a lot, in some service, like I think a week ago too, he talked about being enemies of God. How is it that a friend of God can become an enemy of God? And now God starts to fight. And this is what happened for the children of Israel. But God is so good, because all throughout that journey, till they went into captivity, till Jesus came, there was always an opportunity to turn, to return. There was always that mercy of God. But the judgment was sure, it was inevitable for Israel to go into captivity. But again, right in there, he gives them hope and says, I'll send you a savior. A savior will come. I will not go back on my word. I promised David this. I promised your forefathers. So it is the same for us. Let's look at something, I think point number one. When God gave Israel the laws on worship, Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 30, this is what God tells the children of Israel. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in the land, take heed to yourself that you are not a snare to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. God is telling his children, do not be tempted to follow the things, the gods that these people worship. The world, Canaan, had so many gods. By the way, did you know that when God sent the plagues to Egypt, I was taught a long time ago this, and maybe some people will be today as old as they learn this, that every plague that God sent to Egypt, it was challenging a particular god of the Egyptians. Did you know that? He was challenging them. A particular god. Let me give an example, just remembering Ophet, because it has just come to my mind now. When he turned water into blood, he was challenging the god of the Nile, because they used to worship, the Egyptians used to worship the god of the Nile. It was their source of economic growth. It would, you know. So when Pharaoh comes, calls his magicians and wizards and all these guys, they, you know, the Bible has interesting undertones. They said, the Bible says they put water in a bowl, and the wizards and the sorcerers turned that water into blood. All right? Didn't that happen? But these very chaps could not now go to the Nile and reverse what God had done. They couldn't. Does it make sense? You see? But they could actually do it for water in a bowl. But they could not go and reverse what God had done in the Nile. When God sent darkness to Egypt, you know, the Egyptians used to worship the god of the sun, you know, the starry host, the stars and all that. Remember, there were also astrologers. God said, no, nienda bazikiza. He just shut it down. They never did that again. Never. You see, so God challenges, the God of heaven challenges that God. So every plague, go do your Bible study, you realize he challenged the God of fertility, the God of harvest, and the last one was the God of life. Yeah, where they thought, you know, they were getting life from. So you go read it, you'll see. So you were 2 days old when you learned that. Thank God I remembered it, yeah? So there were so many gods in the land of Canaan. There are so many gods. And for us as Christians, what are these gods? Let me tell you something. God is going to prosper you. In your promise, then you must touch money. I do not know. If you must touch money, you must be prosperous. But guess what? The way we are going, those guys are prosperous. Where we are in our promised land, people are prosperous. So there are different gods. There are the gods, the god of fame, reputation, achievements. All these things posed as gods in the world there. And you know what? It's so easy for you to start worshiping that god when you become famous. And God, we see you on NTV News. Yeah, prime hour. We're seeing you there. You're talking, what economy, what now? We are going to build a bridge here. Man, that is fame. For me, when you show up on NTV News, that one, for me, I'm like, ono yachimazi, achikute, achitute. That is fame, I'm telling you. Because they are, the whole world is seeing you from wherever they are broadcasting you. Yeah, and hoping you're saying good things. So these things, it's so possible for these things to catch you, to take your attention. And then it's also possible, you know, there is a die phone, my neighbor, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is such a liar. Anyway, I've seen it happening to many pastors, many worship leaders. There is a worship leader, a lady who was really, really anointed of God. Nice music. We sing some of her music here. She got, you know, she would, I think, what were they called? Those prayer days in Parliament. On the National Prayer Day, she was one of those people who would go, eh? And she sings. And by the way, her songs were in Luganda. But you know that our parliament has people who don't even what? Who cannot speak Luganda properly. But they would call her and she worships and she sings and there is a presence of God and everyone is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then she started singing at people's weddings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then now she became so famous. Then the song started changing. Then now they became Kwano Gwa Mama. Yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now weddings. Mama. And I'm not saying it's bad. So she begins to do many more weddings. She becomes famous. She is all booked out. Yeah? She was even calling her a pastor. You know, she even had a church at one point. But all this fame got her thinking. It did a number on her. I think on her mind. And then guess what happens? Now she gets into a very unholy union with someone. And that was the end of her. Everything, yeah? Her marriage, she gets what? Married, what? In church. But it was bad. There was a lot of controversy around her marriage. And let me tell you, before we knew it, she was no more out of the country, deserted the marriage. Man, that is what happened to her. But you see, we are able to say that, I'm able to say that example, because she was famous, she was up there. But the same can happen to you who is here. No, and as in you just chill the things of God and no one will know. No one will what? Will know. Glory to God. So God doesn't want us to conform, because this lady, what happened was, she started to conform. The dresses got tighter. Yeah, the hairstyle, things got, man, I remember like going to YouTube and looking at her, the videos, music videos she made while she was starting out, man, eh? You just see, and I'm not saying whether it's bad, but she was even dark, poor lighting, what, but at the height of her career, at the height, now it was no longer ministry, let's just call it her career, there, yeah. At the height of her career, the skin would be glossy, the videos are okay. Kwegamba, you watch and you say, really? Chechino. And those things are not bad, because that is where we are heading. We are where God changes you. And you see us here, we have this microphone and you have to hold it for one. By the time you're done, even the hands. But that, hey, when God prospers us and we have those microphones, so gee, what? And whatever we don't have to look on the side and say, now where is my scripture? You look down there and you say, put it for me. Eh? And we just, you guys, that is where we are heading. I'm trying to make a point that these things are not bad. Eh? They are not bad. Why should you, children of God, who wake up in the morning, come and serve him, be here, be in a church where, you know, thank God that you can even hear me in the church where I grew up. Hey, you have to really strain your, yeah, you, kwegamba. Then that day we got a microphone like this one. It is just for Musumba. The person, the interpreter, had to use his voice still until the church got money to buy for him a microphone. But the interpreter had to, you know. And God prospered them. But right now when I go back, man, they are, the Musumba has that microphone that over does things here, there are over batteries here. I don't even, today when I was coming, I was like, what dress will I wear? My dress won't work. Because, bouncy babatia, yeah? But the point is, that is where we are going. But we shouldn't be overtaken by these things. Because these things can be gods. We've talked before about blessings that become idols. Blessings that, and you do not know. Oh, you people, the most subtle thing is pride. Falling does not happen in one day. It doesn't happen. Mpola, mpola, mpola. Mpola. Before you know it, they are used to come to church. Now you are a CEO of some company. They say, now CEO, we are going to cancer run. Hey, marathon. You're like, when I, but even you see yourself in a marathon, tomalako. But you have to be there. You're like, you haven't even been training, but you must be there and represent people. You can't even run 2 kilometers. The best you can do is 30 minutes on a treadmill and you're huffing and puffing away. But now when you're CEO, you're there big. I say, marathon, cancer, we are running for babies. What? Eh? You guys, yeah, I think the last one was running for babies. Man, these things, let me tell you how God prospered us one day. We're there, we have our Kawan TV, one remote, one DSTV, that decoder. So, things were tight. We would over argue about, you know, times for football, what? The kids want to watch their things. Some kids want to watch their things. Other kids and their father also want to watch football. Kwegamanga, we are there. So we'll talk about this and we'll laugh about it. And then a couple in this church decided to bless us and said, you guys, let us show you. Eh? There's some decoder you can get. You can record the game, rewind, pause, forward, what? We're like, yeah, they hooked us up. Yeah? They hooked us up. Everything that service paid for, got someone. Wanda was at home. My husband calls me. This guy from DSTV is coming. Remember that decoder I told you about? He's going to hook it up. I'm like, hey, okay, fine. So this guy comes. He hooks it up. So we're like, now we are going to forward, rewind, pause. What? We knew we were what? Sorted. Prosperous. Now we had also become prosperous. You know, prosperity. You can all watch TV, but you watch differently. For some people who are prosperous, that's it. For others, they can rewind, they can record and do all those things. Those are different levels of prosperity. So, then before I knew it, the recordings now became too much. Every time you want to watch your car thing, you want to record something, it's already recording something else. So I'm like, what is happening here? But I noticed something interesting. That, you see, football, sports, Mark is here. These guys air their stuff at a very critical hour of family time. Let me first complain, yeah? Because, yes, you know... Family time is, of course, they have to get viewership. That is the only way, because people are at home. And they are right in doing that. They have to make a sale. But also, what about the family? Ngamulia all the time on what? But it's family time. And they are now coming for you in your space there. Yeah? So, it became too much. I was like, yeah? Sometimes I would come back and find, you know, when the decoder is recording things, you see a red light. You're like, this thing wasn't switched off at night. Then not only to turn on, you find a line of football, cartoons, what, programma, the whole night the thing has been what? Recording. I said, this thing here, there is a problem. There is a problem. So I told my husband, now we have patterns in our family. We are not going to conform to DSTV. We have patterns in our family. And every other thing is going to fit within the patterns. What time do children go to sleep? What time should they wake up? What time should they have eaten food? What time should they bathe? Every other thing, and I don't care whether it's Premier League, what league, whatever league, never even always lose. It has to fit in here. When I was working in the bank, one of the things that got me out of the bank was they introduced 24-hour banking. 24-hour banking meant going to work even on Sunday. Even on Sunday, I said, no, I cannot do this. I cannot continue. You work on Saturday, even Sunday. I'm like, these guys. But that is the system of the world. It is so profit-oriented. They don't care. They just don't care. All right? So I was like, no, I am not conforming. And guess what? You can't beat the system. You get out. You don't join them. I saw some people saying you join. You can't beat the system. You what? Sweet. You get out. So as you go into your promised land, do not conform to the gods that are there. Please. These things are going to seek to take your time. They are going to seek to reroute your patterns at home. They will seek to even put your families asunder. Apart. Opportunities can come your way. Opportunities from the devil can come your way. Mothers who are here, you've just gotten your child, then they give you a posting. But they're posting somewhere over where, but you have a baby. And they're saying, no, you have to report to work, the pressure is too much and what? Let me tell you, there's some things where I can't even say seek the will of God. Things are just obvious. All right? So seek not to conform. The way you do your business, money is coming. Fam, you become prosperous. Asimwe. The most prosperous decorator. They talk about you. They were having a chat with her and she talked about, I think, one of the top-notch people. She's called Pink Coconut. I'm like, okay, so for you, gold coconuts, you come. L-A-T, what? Ngabwo, timba, what? Yoka flower, kwe gamba. It's just like this. Then they say, jango timbi on Sunday. Yoka timba, wanova where. And man, before you know it, you start becoming something. It's like, okay, I'll listen to the sermon during the week. I'll what? Before you know it, you have forsaken meeting with people. because you are busy. And you do not know, because it happens slowly, it happens gradually. You change slowly by slowly. So, and in changing like that, you're bowing to that God. And the devil is just plotting for you. He is plotting for you. But you are there, you're in the promised land, and you are actually prosperous. But the end of you should always be better than the beginning. Hallelujah. It should always be better than the beginning. Let us look at laws. God gave children, the children of Israel, laws on alliances. Let's call them friendships. Foreign policy, yeah, for people who are here. Yes, God was there kuchangaring the foreign policies of you will be this guy's friends, you will not be these ones, you will not pass here, you will pass there. Let's look at Exodus 34, verse 12. Exodus 34, verse 12. God tells the children of Israel, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. God warns the children of Israel against making alliances, covenants, becoming friends with the inhabitants that they were going to dispossess. This is very crucial. What does it look like for you and I? 1 Corinthians 15:33. For you and I, bad company corrupts good morals. But also, when you align yourself with people who are not believers, because that's where you're going, that is where you are, you will end up worshiping their gods. It's inevitable. Let's look at a very peculiar example of what happened here. I hope I can take you through this very, very quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, there was a king called Jehoshaphat. We're going to talk about him and we see what happened to Jehoshaphat because of an alliance that he made. So King Jehoshaphat, this is what God, the Bible tells us about him. Just an introduction. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in the commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. This is Jehoshaphat, a king of Judah. But guess what? We go to 2 Chronicles 18, verses 1. Okay. God was with this guy. Remember what we've just read? Please follow with me, yeah? Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So King Ahab of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go up with me against Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people are as your people. We will be with you in the war. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire of the word of the Lord today. First stop there. This is a king, a righteous king, who is introduced as God was with him, God had established him. How is it that he ends up with Ahab? Who everyone, even now, your children know about Ahab and Jezebel. How is it that a righteous king aligns himself with the worst king at that time? How does that happen? They had an alliance via marriage. These guys were in-laws. So Jehoshaphat had a son called Jehoram, all right? And Ahab had a daughter called Athaliah. These two formed an alliance when their children got married. So they get married and they produce a child called Ahaziah. That is why he tells King Ahab, when he goes to see Ahab, Ahab, please, all the meat, all the pork, everything, goat, what, whatever you want, even for your men. And he says, let's go up and we fight Ramoth. We fight these guys in Ramoth Gilead. And this is the funny thing. He says, you know what? In verse 4, Jehoshaphat, even when he had this alliance with an evil king, he's like, let us first inquire of what? Of the Lord. This is verse 4. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire of the word of the Lord today. Verse 5. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. 400 men, Bina, and he says to them, shall we go up? Shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead? Shall I refrain? So they said, go up. The Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, okay, there were 400 prophets. I've heard you, Naga, you're Ahab. You're well known that you're evil. He says, let us inquire again. Yeah? The spirit of the Lord still in him. Yeah? He says, let us inquire. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Can you imagine? They bring you 400 prophets. Do you know what it means to have 400 prophets? Hichi chigambo chiba cha mukama here in Kampala. Eh? If 400 prophets say the same thing in Kampala, it is of God. That one on a prophet, gundit prophet, prophet, bichi. Here in Kampala, it is of God. But Jehoshaphat is like, okay, this guy is prophets. All right, but let's first inquire again. So he asks that they may inquire. Verse 7, so the king of Israel said to him, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He's Micaiah, the son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such a thing. So we shall stop there. But this is what actually happens. They bring Micaiah from prison. He had been imprisoned. So they bring the prophet. They ask him, shall we go up? The prophet, now kola wobuntu, you know what? No, you will not go up. You will die. Remember, one of the 400 prophets come up. He's called Zedekiah. Zedekiah comes and the delivery of the prophecy is so dramatic. The Bible says that he made horns out of iron. And he said, with these horns, you will gore the Syrians like this. Very, very dramatic. Nenge chigambo is not even of the Lord. Ahab is like, olaba. So when Micaiah comes and says, mwenna, for me, this is what I have seen. I saw a spirit in the presence of God. God convened a meeting and a spirit and God asked, whom am I going to send to go and lie to those guys, the 400 chaps? There is a spirit that came up and said, send me, I will go. And God said, okay, you go. So he put a lying spirit in all your 400. Before the guy, I think, could finish saying his vision, Zedekiah comes, the dramatic prophet, and slaps him and he says, where did the spirit of God go from me to you to tell you this? Yeah? And he said, okay, fine. If you guys come back alive, that's it. They get Micaiah, things go back. They take him back to jail, and these guys go back to war. And guess what? This alliance was so bad. King Ahab tells Jehoshaphat, you know what? I'm going to disguise myself as a normal person, but you wear your things of what? Your things of a king. So Jehoshaphat is like, okay, fine. So they go into war. This is something that is against God. He goes into war. And guess what? They see now King Jehoshaphat. They see King Jehoshaphat, the Syrians, and they come for him. And he cries out and says, no, they thought it was King Ahab. He cries out and says, banange, banange. And the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord had mercy on Jehoshaphat and turned those people away from him, from pursuing him. But guess what? Ahab, we love what? He starts to what? Remember, he had disguised himself in battle. So he starts to slip away. But you guys, no one, God never loses a battle. Some cast stray arrow like this, went for the guy, got him in between his joints, a mortal wound. Glory to God. And the guy ended up dying. So Jehoshaphat goes back home. Look at that alliance. Look at that alliance. The Bible says at the age of 42, his son, Jehoram, now this is Jehoshaphat, he has gone away, what? He has gone to rest with his fathers. His son, Jehoram, comes onto the scene. When he comes onto the scene, the Bible says, let's go there. Second Chronicles 22:2-3. And Ahaziah, yes, who was their child. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. This is after now Jehoshaphat had died. Remember, they had Jehoram and Athaliah. They were aligned by that marriage. So this guy, yeah, starts to do, these two people, Jehoram and Athaliah, have a child called Ahaziah. And Ahaziah begins to again walk in the ways of Ahab. Why? Because his mother, Athaliah, was advising him to do wicked things. This is why you're going to pray for your children's, what? For your children's spouses. There is a lot of pressure. Imagine a good man, a man whose kingdom had been established by God. Now he makes a stupid alliance with a king, a wicked and evil king. All right? And this is what happened. So slowly by slowly we see that Israel took a downward spiral. They were going downward. So the kings they were getting, many of them, if not most, were leading them far and farther away from the Lord. These are the children that God got out of Egypt. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 19, verses 2. This is what happens when we get into unholy alliances with the heathen or people who do not fear God. We raise the wrath of God against us. And Jehu, who is a prophet who came after Micaiah, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of God is upon you." You want to arise the wrath of God upon you. You go into some of these wicked alliances. I want to remind us that each one of us here is very special to God. I don't care at what state of society, like level of society you are, but you are so special that some people should not be your friends. You know, when people stand and say, "You may think I have a lot of money." No, I am a child of God. And if someone is wicked, they shouldn't be my friend. There are some people who should not be your friends. There are some people who shouldn't be your children's friends. And you shouldn't be shy about these things. You should say no. If you see a relationship budding, kill it. Kill it. Or tell the child, "No, I'm not. We are not doing that." Why? Because you do not know where this can end. Just an unholy alliance. An intermarriage. And God told the children of Israel, do not go into these things of intermarriages with, you know, but they didn't listen. All right? And now let me take this opportunity to talk about the fact that also God gave the children of Israel instructions for their families. You remember they left Egypt in families. You remember they started as 12 tribes of Israel. So they had families. They left with their children. But God knew. Why? Because they had gone through Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was incest, homosexuality, and all these things that we've seen. By the way, Grace Joy, did you know that homosexuality was there in the Bible? Mwine, did you know that? In Sodom and Gomorrah, yes. Those things were there before. And God is like, let me give you the laws that are going to govern you. No incest, no this, no this, no this. You know, he gave them laws to govern the families. Even for us, by the way, it is the same thing. There are laws. Do not remember the pattern God has given you in the promised land for your family. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We always talk about how Samson got a Philistine wife. Yeah? And when he wanted to marry, Judges 14:3, the Bible tells us that he saw, what's her name? Delilah. Yes? He saw her, he liked her. But she was a Philistine, and God had warned them. And guess what? This was a child, Samson, who had a great destiny on him. And the parents knew, if you knew how Samson was conceived, yeah? His father Manoah and the wife. This child was conceived, he had a calling on his. And guess what? The time comes, he wants to get married, and he sees Delilah, and the parents ask this question. His father and his mother say to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson say to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me very well. Children have a mind of their own. You can come here, you've given them the right. I tell Muganda Tula Maso, and I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to worship during worship, stiff as a tree. No, I'm like, use your hands. Eh? But they have a mind of their what? Of their own. Children have a mind of their own parents. But still, it is your whatever, your duty to tell the child the truth. The day you become a parent, single people, you've signed up for talking. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to talk today. But before the day ends, I have talked and I am tired. Even sometimes I tell them, help me. Like, I beg, help me. Just help. Do it for me. Chinkolide. If it was my son here, Samson, I'll be like, Samson, chinkolide, just do it for me. Huh? Do it for me. You talk endless. You talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And wake up just in time to talk. That is how things are. For me, I have no problem, by the way, with arranged marriages. I tell people that never want to know, like, eh? What I have a problem against, or a problem with, is taking away your child's right to choose a spouse. But I have no problem with if I have seen a girl, eh? Who is, eh? How, why shouldn't I try to, huh? And, you know, but still, if the person says, I don't want, I will back off. But I will do everything I can. If I see something good, man, if I have, I saw a good school, I invested in it. I saw a good house, I bought it for you. I saw a good car, I thought you deserve it. What about a spouse? Are you going to keep me away from that? So even that one, you try. Yeah? You don't take away the right for the child to choose. Never do that. A child has a will. You might end up, you cannot love the other person for your child. Glory to God. You cannot. You cannot even love a cause for your child. Baba says, you can't. You know, we grew up in a time for us where our fathers, our parents, were so, man, you say you don't want what the government gave you, or Jakwesa Sulida. There were no two ways about that. The results would come back at S6. They just go, what did the government give? Musei doesn't have even, he's not even thinking. He didn't even plan to pay campus fees. He just goes to the board. What did the government give? Medicine. That's it. There's nothing like, you see, while I was in VAC, I got exposed to doctors. But I feel I don't want to do it to this man. Parents at our time didn't want to hear those things. He would say, "Gendo jifune ojagalo kola, you pay for yourself and you go and get it for me." But nowadays things have changed. We are more involved with the children. You sit and discuss. So what do you want to do? I want to do this. Even after you've discussed, the child can come back and say after 1 year, "Nekuye. I felt that I feel a calling to about what, I feel my mind has been opened to do cyber security. And you're like, but you have been doing civil engineering for, this is the third year. Push on and finish the fourth year. Dad is like, no. That, well, civil engineers, some people have jobs. But before, you also do not know. You're like, but man, this job market, you've also read so many things. So it's a two-way. You've read so many things. Your child has read so many things. You're like, okay, you what? Go on and do your cybersecurity, IT. So you pay more. Prosperity, you pay more money, and yeah. But there is no problem with all that, okay? As parents, it is your responsibility to guide your child, all right? But also, you must be able to put your foot down and say, no, one pound walk out here. I am your mother. I will also go on, even if you look at me like this, even meow, yeah? You go, oh, hey, yeah? So, when it comes to marriage, let's take these things seriously. Glory to God. Amen. Recently, I was counseling a couple where the lady was saying that she doesn't feel, she has a child with this gentleman, and she was saying that she doesn't feel, she wants to chase her career. She doesn't feel like she can be a wife and a mother at the same time. When she looks around and she sees her friends, they moved so far ahead. Ha! I say what? They have moved. So I'm like, so tell me about your friend. And she says, for example, like my friend who had, she started working. And when again, I'm being a biokuzala, zala. It took me back sometimes. So my friend was able to whatever, go ahead, like move faster, develop what. And she got money and bought a car. I'm like, huh? What car did she buy? Just out of curiosity. She told me, yeah, she bought a Probox. I'm like, you know what? The premium on ignorance on this one is too high. Meanwhile, she's saying this, and I'm not saying a Probox is bad, but look at it in context, you guys. I must say that a Probox is a very good car. On any day when I don't have fuel, I wish I would have a car that has low fuel consumption and I jump in there. Sometimes I'm like, oh, my children have made me angry. I wish I had a smaller kanji and jivuge mbaleke, you know? And a Probox fits all those things. So a Probox is a very nice car. But you know, the devil can blind you. Now, the pressure to conform, to get money, to what she can't even see and discern that Ebiobiona is nothing. Ebiobiona is nothing, okay? The kaka, today, tomorrow, even if it was a Benz, by the way, about what, formatic, tomorrow it could have an accident, but you have a child. You have a man who loves you. And by the way, her husband drives a very big car. Huh? It's so big. Like Nabash was saying to me, I feel like I cannot be a mother and a wife. I'm like, what? I can't be a mother and a wife at the same time. Kankoleko chimu. So I decide to just be a what? Guess what the choice she told me she was making? Mother. She didn't want to be a wife. Yeah. For the single people who are here who wish to get married, I can see you just don't understand her. Nange sam tegeda. But you see, that pressure to conform, she started looking at God had taken her in this, given her a very good promise. It had come to pass. But guess what? Now she is there and she wants to conform. And now she made, you know, and those were friends of, again, these alliances, eh? Those were friends. They would call her in the night. Kati, nothing is no. They say, nakudewaka duka. And now she feels like, man, because the opportunity hadn't yet come to work. So she started to feel like, man, she is broke. So I tried to tell her that, look, it's agreed. The reality is, and for single people who are here, especially ladies, when you go into this business of childbearing, you might not move at a rate or as pace that you wanted to move. It is not always that the case, by the way. But sometimes things slow down a bit so that you can attend to the children. But later, the pace is picked up. You can always pick up the pace, all right, if that is what you want. But the friends, they kept on telling her. So when I talked to the husband, he's like, Munangi. He said, Mikwa noje, I don't even understand them. I don't want to talk to them because they think a certain way. And now before we knew it, she was putting, I think her friends told her, tattoos, what, like, weird things. But they put her under so much pressure to conform to things, to a plan that wasn't even for her family, a plan that is not for her, something cheyasabida, na agenda prayer mountain, and she cried for that thing. And God is like, okay, Oboto, I've given you this breakthrough. But guess what? Now she's here saying she just cannot go on. What a waste. Yeah? What a waste. So let us be very careful with the alliances that we make. Friends, in marriage, but Singapore who are here, the Bible tells us not to. 2 Corinthians 6:14. These things, I don't like to speak them. I have to. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? It doesn't tell us to hate unbelievers, but that it also tells us, what it tells us is not to go into covenants. You can have unbelievers who are your business partners, yeah, but you had better be very, very careful about such things. But also, this one specifically to people who are single, who are not yet married, do not get an unbeliever. I've said it here before. Bomubuzo sabadinichi. Like stammering, you know, I'm saved in my own way. Please. There is nothing like I'm saved in my own way. The Bible gives us the guideline for people who are born again. All right? So you don't say, I'm saved in my own way. You see, he's a good guy. Been married for 16 years. I've never seen any good guy survive marriage. It's God. It's people who are seriously born again. Glory to God. Amen. So we've talked about unholy alliances. Please do not conform to those things. Do not refuse them. I was telling a friend of mine that Nzinzikiriza, this is going to sound, I'm going to sound controversial. But yeah, I told, this is me, not the Bible, that when there is some money, a level of prosperity that I made, not rich, because every time I think about some kind of money, the only ways I see myself getting that money, they are evil ways. So because of that, I'm like, maybe I'll not reach there. Maybe. Yeah. And that's just me. And I told my friend, for me, I've made peace. Hey, chiba chibe, but there are some things I'm not going to do for money. Glory to God. Amen. And in LAT, we are prosperous, we are givers. I can't live without talking about prosperity. But I'm also happy that Pastor Moses wrote that book. So this point is halfway done. By me reminding you that we have a book on financial prosperity, it is called Breaking the Back of Poverty. Please read that book again, especially during this time. All right? You know, when you have prospered, there are things that you can take for granted. When you don't have money, you're tithing because you want some. There is that expectation that when you tithe, because when the Bible tells us, bring the tithes into the storehouse, every time by there you give or tithe, expect God to bless you. Please, I beg you, expect God to bless you. So it's not bad. But now when God has blessed you, sometimes the expectation, nowadays, you see, when you have 2K, you know, God, you are the one who, I've realized that when people are broke, the laws of prosperity, bazimanyi, they are bazijumbira. But now when the money comes in, they start to question. They say, but Creflo Dollar said, yeah? But, you know, but when the children of Israel were going into the promised land, God gave them laws concerning generosity, how they should treat the poor, concerning debt cancellation. He was concerned, therefore, about their what? Their financial prosperity. And it was in his plan to prosper them. Okay? But greed. Let me talk about greed. Coveting. Those are things that land us into trouble. Those are the things that land us into trouble. God has prospered you. When you were little, you didn't have anything. Katabo wakasoma. And you said, yeah, Ayuka, you are prosperous at any level. When Pastor Moses would come here and says, you know, Jed, when you have money for to bring you to church, then you have some more to give, you're prosperous. And you say, yeah, I'm prosperous. You believed that. Then now the money comes. Ooh. You start to say, but, really? Should I really tithe? It becomes harder to tithe. It was easier to tithe on 2K than 200 thou. I have tested that. It's actually true. It's easier to tithe on big money, on small money than big money. But if you have built the principle, there shouldn't be an issue. Okay? Also, you know, you have to, the Bible says, in fact, when I was preparing this point, my daughter came and showed me her work. They gave them a project to do at home. And part of it was this very verse about you can't serve both God and money. So they were supposed to write, cut out something from a box and write on one side the devil's rewards, on the other side God's rewards. So I looked at it. Then one of where she had inscribed, you can't serve both God and money. The side of the devil had houses, what, all those things. And I'm like, yeah. But I said, well, I understand that in context. So, as in, don't let these things really take you. So, God gave the children of Israel laws concerning their prosperity. He told them, there are some people here, the moment you have someone's debt, or they have your debt, you can't even think about forgiving the debt, banang. Yeah? But I think, let us not overborrow, but also, let us, once in a while, forgive a debt or two. Seven, in the year 2023, would I forgive to this amount? Eh? And they say, when we give, we are giving to you. So I gave to you. Never wanga bankubye, but yeah. So anyway, let's go to Joshua 7. A very good story about something that happened when someone coveted things in the promised land. You know, the previous verses in Joshua talk about how the children of Israel managed to take over Jericho. Then now we go, the next battle was the battle of Ai. Yes? So the battle of Ai, where they lost. So when they lost this battle, Joshua goes before God and asks, why did we lose? Yeah? And then now God tells him, you know, God can be director of snitch agency. So God snitches, says, among you guys, there is a chap who took cast things from Babylon. Now that is why my wrath was turned on you guys. So guess what? After God has snitched on the guy, they bring out, I'm just building the story, so they bring out the clan heads. Do you know what that meant? Bringing out the children of Israel. There was a commission of inquiry, PAC, the equivalent maybe of PAC, but probably worse than PAC, where now the clan heads would come. Every tribe. Dr. Mujimba, please tell us. Sam is okay. I'm using people who are safe. Sam is okay. Pastor Moses, what was that dream? When it comes to money, this one, like all the, you know, Andrew, Sabalwani, your family presented, Can you imagine they went through all the tribes, until they came to Achan's father. Achan. So somehow, but remember the Lord had already snitched on this guy. So they find Achan, and then they ask Achan here. Joshua asks him, because he's the one who had taken those things. We shall find out later. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell him now what you have done and do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. First stop there. This guy went on to describe what happened. And this is what happens to all of us. You go in the world, God has promised you victory. You say things, and the things, virunji, because this garment was pleasing to the eye. There was silver, there was gold, the equivalent of what we call money here. In Uganda, money, dimes. You see things, you covet them. So this guy goes on to describe the process of the sin that you and I may know that actually sin has a process. He said, I coveted them. And I took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in his tent, with a silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, and led them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. They brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So Israel stoned him with stones. They burned him with fire. They raised a great heap over him. But do you know what this guy cost Israel? The Bible says, if you read back, he cost them a whole nation lost a battle and the lives of 36 men. Really, you guys, tell me, was it really worth it? The garment, the silver and the gold that Achan took, it was never worth it for those lives. It is not worth it. The devil is such a thief. His math doesn't math. Yeah? 36 lives and the loss of a war. All right? For what? A garment and gold and silver hidden under there. Not worth it. So the things that the devil sometimes puts in our ways are just not worth it. Not even sometimes, all the time. It's just not worth it. Joshua 8, 1 to 2. This is what God comes and does for the children of Israel. Now the Lord, this is after they have stoned the guy. Now things are not there anymore. He tells them, okay, now I'm going to be with you. Go back and fight. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. God moved on very quickly. After they dealt with the sin, he wasn't there sulking like some of us would do. He said, okay, Tuchimaster, move ahead. So go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. Then you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only, listen to this, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. The very things that Achan coveted, God was giving the children of Israel. The very things that you think you cannot get, that you have to go out there and you get on your own. God is saying, but I'm giving you those things. He will give them booty, spoils from war. So it was pointless for this guy to even covet. What is my point? God has promised you prosperity. Do not take any other word against that. Do not even when the devil comes and says, when I tempt you and says, Chino, please, the love of money is the root cause of all evil. When you covet things, Mukama, that very thing you covet. But if you ever find yourself coveting, sit back and say, but God can give me that very thing. Just say, no, but God can give it to me. God can give it to me. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 6:10, I have to tell you this verse because I held it so, so dearly to me when I was at the university. Yeah? And I still hold it now. For the love of money is the root cause, is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When you start to love money, do you know how many sorrows you pierce yourself with? So many. You get those things. You get prosperous. But then you have to hide. You're not free. You're not what? There is a guy that I know someone works for. The guy, he's rich. He has wealth. Bionne sente, bisente sente aina. I know what they call ebisente, like an aunt of mine says, ebisente. Yeah? But this guy, he's always moving with a gun. So recently, my husband is talking to him on phone. He calls my husband for a job, but then he hears the guy saying in the background, Iwe, Iwe, Mbundi Anjedai, Westerners, where is my gun? Where is my gun? And my husband was like, but this guy, does he know that I'm still here? He's like, hey, engineer. So I'm like, can you imagine the guy has walked with a gun? Then his house has burglar proofing, not bad again, but man, the guy has, he has to protect himself. He has one, well, like, it is up the way he got that wealth. He has so many people who hate him, who are looking for him. He just has no what. He has the whole world. He has no rest. A guy has to walk with a gun. He has to what? He has to put gun. But yes, you see all this pomp around him. But you're like, is it really worth it? Like, for the people you have cheated, for, you know, so it's up to him now to protect that very wealth he got. And that is a very big burden, all right? So you pierce yourself with many what? Young girls who are here. Young girls who are here getting, you have, yambala kan, when what? University, hostel. Who is going to take you out in the hall? Who is going to take you out? Who is what? Then you see them going to length. And these things are not bad. But if you have to struggle that much to get them to, so that you can maintain a certain lifestyle. Honestly, sikwe gomba. Yeah? So it's a very good lesson for all of us. You're there, dignified, took money. Then before we know it, you have built an estate in Lwowa. Then we see you on TV, iron sheets go missing. What is that? Even the house you're staying in, it doesn't have iron sheets. Say iron sheets go missing. Do you work in Uganda? But you saw that joke. Yeah? So I'm like, but really, these people, really, God has made you prosperous. Everyone looks at you, what? But you're stealing iron sheets. Iron sheets, gauge 28. What is that? What is that? Then you go there. You know the devil as was. You're so, like, even the things you say, you're still in public. You're there saying me. I don't know how they got there. What me? I just found them at home. I mean, so, my point is, L.A.T., we are in a promised land. But let us be very careful with the relationships we have. Let us remember to worship the one true God. Let us remember that our prosperity comes from only and only God. Don't settle for anything else. Hallelujah. My time is fast spent. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord God, we thank you that you are God who prepared us for our promised land. And Father, you've taken us there. And Lord God, you sustain us. Lord God, we come before you and we declare that, we acknowledge and declare that we are dependent on you. You and only you, Father. Lord, we pledge allegiance to you and not any other God, King of Glory. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to give us wisdom and discernment concerning the networks and relationships that we build. Things, help us, Father. Help us, King of Glory, not to sit in the seat of scoffers, not to be with them, not to walk with people that mock you and your ways. Help L.A.T., King of Glory, even as a church. Help us to discern the good relationships that we should build and we should encourage as a church, Father, Lord God. You have warned us in the past about wrong relationships. And Lord God, you repeat it today. And Father, we believe that you will still guide us, Father. Lord, we thank you for our children. Father, we thank you that you continue to watch over them, lead them and guide them, even as they listen to your word. Father, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.